Recently, I, thank God, got a new car, and I was leaving. I have to reverse down my drive, and it's quite an art. It requires a bit of skill because it's quite narrow. So you can never buy a really big car for my drive. You know, if you want a strapping grey Audi or something, it'll never get up there really easily. But so you just think about the size of the car and all the rest of it, and how is it going to be easy to move in and out? And because when I come in, I could easily clip the bricks wall, the wall. Anyway, I was in this new car and reversing out, and I had a few spins in it, and it was okay. It didn't have as much oomph as my last, but it has other features for which I need to be thankful for. And so I left my house, reversed down the drive nicely, yes, easily done. And I come out my drive and I go to these traffic lights, and usually I turn right up at quite a narrow lane. And so I'm in second gear, turning right, put my foot down, and the blooming car wouldn't move. It was just going really slow, and I was foot to the floor, and nothing was happening. And I thought, well, they've sold me a dud. This car doesn't work. This is, there's something seriously wrong. And I looked at my speedometer, and it was under 20 miles an hour. And can you imagine my frustration of being under 20 miles an hour? And fortunately, I had a bit of a techno queen in the car with me, Sandra. And I'm going, what on earth's wrong with this car? This is serious. And I think I was coming to a meeting here, and I thought, I'm not going to get here on time. I'm probably going to, break down. And Sandra looks at the dashboard. You see, I've never read the manual because I don't like reading manuals. And Sandra looks at the dashboard and says, there's that funny light on there. And she pushes a few buttons. And it's something lights up. The words come up on the screen. Speed limiter. A speed limiter? Who has a car? Apart from lorry drivers and vans, they have speed limiters. I know they shouldn't go over 60, so the companies try and set the limit. And it was set to 16 miles an hour. I don't know who set that. Sandra. That was a moment of light. It was probably you. And so, fortunately, she knew how to change the limits on the car so that I could go happily along to the next meeting. The funny thing was that I assumed there was something wrong. And I thought the car, I need to blame the car. But the car was working okay. It was just that it was set wrong. And I think that speaks into all of our lives. Because actually, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, life really does work. But you need to reset the limits. Because we all have limiters, whether they're social limiters, their experience, our experiences, they keep us limited in what we think we can achieve or do. There are limits because your family or the people you're around are so used to you being like that, they will never see you any different. And in the Christian life, we can all walk around with this amazing new car, new life in Christ, but live so limited that we never reach the potential of that car because there's been a set limit. And I would say that every person in this room is working in their lives with set limits, myself included. And Jesus actually says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he speaks about he's called and chosen us, the foolish things of this world, or the nobodies, those who are overlooked, those who actually can't do anything really of themselves, to prove that he is great in and through their lives, to break off all limits so that his greatness is seen. And Jesus Christ didn't just come to forgive sins. He came to give us a new life, his life, so that the life, the potential for each and every one of us who've accepted him as Lord and Savior, there are no limits, only Christ himself, only God himself. But he is continually limited by how we perceive ourselves and what our settings are. And each one of us have certain settings, even religious settings. Scriptures we've heard for years and years and years, and I would include myself, and they're just not working. I can put my foot down, leave a meeting and go, that was a good meeting. But if I'm still set at those limits, something needs to be changed for me to move forward into his greatness, to break off the limitations and move into his greatness. And so can you see how this picture of my new car actually speaks to every single one of us? That actually we all need a good dose of resetting the limits so that God can do his great work in and through each one of our lives. And I am convinced that Jesus didn't come to live in us just to never be seen or to never do the same things he always did when he was walking around Israel. I am fully convinced, because the Bible says so, that each one of us can see that same Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's the same today, he's the same today in you and in me. Do the same things. And yet we're all limited when we hear that. We have certain limits in us that make us think, well, I've not yet seen that. It's a bit pie in the sky. But wouldn't it be great if we all allowed God to reset the limits so that we could function in the life that Jesus has come to give us? Wouldn't it be awesome if every single one in this room would function as God intended? It would be incredible. The world would wake up to a real Jesus when you go to work tomorrow. There would be signs and wonders everywhere. There'd be words that come out of your mouth that you'd be like, where is that from? But it'd be because he would be speaking through you, he'd be working through you. And I'm convinced that Christ in us is the Christ who wants to work through us. But he works to reset our limitations first. And one man who we're going to look at today in the book of Judges, called Gideon, he had a lot of preset limits on his life. And those limits were preventing him from moving into what God had for his life. And you will never move into what God has if you keep hold of your limits, like that car, 16 miles an hour. How frustrating. And Gideon actually is an interesting character, which I think speaks to all of us. I think the word of God is relevant for every single one of us this morning, because God has a plan. And I'm just going to set the scene, because in the nation at that time, the people in that time, they were defeated by sin and Satan, just like in our nation. All the way around us in Taunton, the West Country, people are defeated because of sin, Satan, and they are fearful, and the enemy is robbing and stealing what God has planned for every human being, which is the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. And so we see this scene of need, and God says, I know what I'm going to do. Now, God doesn't just say, bosh, I'm going to change it. He says, I need to find someone I can work through. Because he always works with people that way. He doesn't do it independently. He always works through someone to fulfill his plan for other people. He wants to save a nation. And he wants to find a few Gideons here this morning who will take the limits off through his word and actually begin to move into the things God has for each and every single one of us. And Gideon is actually God's choice. And we're going to read from verse 11 because we're going to read some characteristics of the person that God picked out to lead this nation-saving deliverance plan from God. And I want to say something this morning. God has a plan for us individually and as a church. And he's picked us out for that plan. And it includes the deliverance and the salvation and the healing and the blessing of many other people through us. And in Judges chapter 6, verse 11, we're just going to cut into the story because I can't read it all. It's a long story. The angel of the Lord came down, and actually later we read this is actually God himself. The angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. This is the enemy. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian, into the hand of our enemies." Verse 14. The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. And I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Is it God? Is this God? Please do not go away until I come back and bring you an offering and set it before you." The Lord said, "Okay, I'll wait till you return." I love it that the Lord's waiting for an offering. I'm not going to take it just yet. Jesus is for me, absolutely incredible in that he looks at us and goes, "I pick you." Okay, nobody's, can I just say, not the brightest and the best. So that we don't blow our own trumpet, but we blow his. We boast about him. Because what he wants to do through ordinary people. He wants to show an extraordinary God. And so he picks Gideon. He picks people like Gideon. And Gideon has a personal visit from God. God shows up, his presence, God comes, and then he speaks. And if you go back to the car, how do we reset the limits of a car? We push a few buttons. How does God reset our limits? How does he change us? Well, he shows up and he speaks. He comes and he speaks. Now, Jesus said, for those who belong to him, I will never leave you. I'm always with you. I will never forsake you. I will give my spirit and he will come and live in you and will be with you. So in other words, God is always present in the life of a believer. So he has shown up. Jesus Christ is here through his spirit living in us. But he always works with our preconceived ideas, belief systems. Because if he's going to change the outcome of our lives, he has to start with our mindsets and our belief settings. And what did Gideon believe about himself? Well, not much good. He actually didn't believe much about himself at all. Because you can read me. How can I save a nation? Are you joking, Lord? I'm confident your selection process has just broken down. I really cannot see why you would come and personally visit me and speak to me. And anyway, not only am I the least, I'm the least in my family. So growing up, let me tell you, everybody knew that I was the one that wasn't going to achieve very much. Yeah, but that's why I picked you. So I haven't picked you for your talents. I picked you because you know you can't. But I'm going to reset your limits to believe that I can. And so this relationship begins with Gideon and the Lord, just as it does with us. And he starts to speak. And these words are so breaking out of the limitations. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And there he is, fearful, afraid, intimidated by certain things. And maybe, you wouldn't admit it, but maybe in private you have experienced being fearful and afraid about some things. And God shows up and says, mighty warrior. And you're like, well, you don't know me at all, Lord. Because if you knew me, you would know that I'm not that kind of person. And isn't it interesting what God says is totally contradictory to what we believe about ourselves? Isn't it interesting? He says words about us that we think, me? You are kidding. You got the wrong address, Lord. I can think of 100 people that are better at this than me. I can think of 100 people more qualified. I can think, why would you use me to save a nation? I just don't fit the bill. I am not qualified. And he says, no, I see you like this. This is who you are. And actually, if I'm honest, Gideon's a little bit of a whiner. That sounded very Australian, whiner. He whines, he moans, he complains. If God is with us, why has this happened? Where are the miracles? Where's God? Why? And God ignores him. He's not going to answer your unbelief. He's just going to speak faith. Because God is a faith God. And what he says, he believes. If he says it about you, he believes he can do it in your life. Because he's a faith God. And this is, if I'm honest, I look at this and think, hang on a minute, what's God doing? He is encouraging Gideon. But he's encouraging not him in himself, his own giftings, his own talents. He's encouraging Gideon to have confidence in God. His confidence wasn't to be in himself, but to be in God. Which is why, if you look at the New Testament, Paul says, it's no longer about I, me, why. It's about Christ in you. He says, I want you to be confident of the one who is in you and with you always. That's where his confidence is going to grow. His faith in God is going to grow. And how does it grow? How does he reset the limitations? By God's presence and by God speaking. And God said, mighty warrior. And God said, I am with you. And God said, so he's speaking. And that word is coming to Gideon, and he's beginning to have the faith that comes from God. Jesus said, have the faith that comes from God. Where does it come from? God. Faith doesn't come from your mind or self-belief. It comes from God. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing by God speak his word. Have the faith that comes from God. God said. And Gideon suddenly begins to feel a little bit different. Not radically at this moment. Because he said, if it is, you are going to get an offering. So he said, I just need a bit of proof here. But it's a weak faith starting to move. He started to act on the presence of the Lord, and what God is saying. You see, the power to change our limits is not us changing ourselves. It's God being present and God saying who we are. It's God saying who we are. It's not what people say. It's not what your family has said. It's not even what you experience or shouting loud and clear. Because all of us have experiences that contradict. God says this. My circumstances say that. God says this. My experience is this. And Gideon is being pulled into trusting God. And through this weak faith, God continues to encourage him. I love this. He just works with this guy. And he takes him from step to step to step until Gideon actually fulfills the vision of bringing a great victory for the nation. I have one slide to come up because I'm not very into slides that much because I'm not the same gift as Pastor Andrea. But this is something that I really felt I wanted us to see. Grace. The definition of grace is God giving himself and all he has to someone who hasn't got what it takes. God giving himself and all he has to someone who doesn't have what it takes. That's Gideon. And I confess, that's me. That's me. Whatever God has done in my life, God did it. He brought me to faith. I begin to act. And I begin to see it. We are sitting in a building that was because God said. You're sitting on chairs because God said. This is a miracle, this building, of God's provision. And God said, that's the building. And God said, I'm going to provide. And God told us what to pay, and God is still paying for the building. Amen. In terms of, we were able to purchase, refurb everything. It's a miracle. But it's all because God brought us to faith. And this is the victory that overcomes circumstances. Faith. Our faith. It overcomes the world. Our faith. Faith is the most powerful thing, which is why, and God said, is so important to realize what God says is able to reset our limitations and bring us into the power of God. Always, forever, the secret of God's power is a story of grace. It's a story of grace. It's, in other words, God giving himself and all that he is and has to those who haven't got what it takes, who don't deserve it. That's us. God's writing a story of grace in your life. But it'll always happen through faith. And so he knows he needs to encourage us to trust him, to rely on him. Now, in the Western mindset, words don't mean that much. And I'm sad I grew up in a Western culture for that very reason. Because words often are spoken that aren't meant. People say things they're going to do. They're going to follow Jesus even. I've heard so many people say, I'm going to follow Jesus. And the Lord knows how many backed off. Didn't keep their word. Many people promise things and they don't come through. They say, I'm going to be there, and they don't show up. And it actually kind of undermines everything about you as a person, because it actually diminishes who you are. But God's not like that. I thank God we serve a God who doesn't just say things, but he keeps every word that he says. He's faithful to his word. And God brings a different understanding of words from the Bible. The words of the Bible, you understand God's word, is actually far more than just sound. When God speaks, it's more than sound. It actually does something. God's words do something. The Bible, the word of God, is full of energy. It's full of life. It's full of power. It's charged with God's power. Every word is living and powerful. And not only that, everything that happened in creation, everything that we see, was made by, and God said, let there be light. And John's gospel says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the word was God, and the word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Jesus is the word of God. And God said, here's my son, my beloved son. Listen to him, God said. Hear what he's got to say. And everything that is made is actually made by the word of God. Visible and invisible. The Bible speaks about God sending forth his word and healing them. Do you not think it's amazing that Peter and John so got this, that they looked at that crippled man and spoke to the man who couldn't walk and said, silver and gold I don't have, but I know what I have got. I've got God and I've got his word on this, so I'm going to say something. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And that man walked. How many healings happen because God says, he sent forth his word and healed them. Isaiah 55 says, no word returns empty, but accomplishes everything it's been sent to do. In other words, what God is saying about Gideon, God is going to do. I love that. He declares it, and he makes it happen. He says it and he makes it happen. Because every word is full of power and the ability of God to accomplish what he has spoken. We know that even our words have power. You know, I believe words can make winners or losers out of people. And God's wanting to make a winner out of Gideon because he hasn't got any plan for failure. He's wanting to make you a winner. So he starts to speak. You can look through, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, but you can look through your journeys, and God said, and God said, and God said, and this morning, and God said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Sends forth his word and accomplishes it. You see, we are understanding then that God uses words to reset our limits. And so he's taking the limitations off Gideon and saying, I'm going to do this because this is how I see you. If only we could see how he sees us. If only we could reset our hearts, our belief systems, to actually believe what Jesus says, to actually believe and think, I can do the same works as Jesus and greater still because I believe in him. It's time for a reset. Hang on, can I just say that over you again? Christ is in you. Christ will work through you. He who believes in me will do the same works as Jesus. John 14:12. Will do the same works as Jesus and greater still. Reset your limits. Reset. Oh, not me. You're a bit like Gideon. Oh, well, no, it's not for me that. I've never seen anybody heal from cancer. Well, if you're still on 16 miles an hour, I've never seen, then that's as fast as you'll go. But God says his word for us to believe it, to accept it and begin to act on it. It's as simple as that. I'm with you. I'm going to do this through you. I'm with you. I'm going to do this through you. I'm with you. I'm going to do this through you. So he speaks things about us that the people around us don't even believe. Gideon's family never really believed it. And I think as a church family, what can happen is we get so used to each other. We get so used to what they are like. Oh, well, that's just them. And God convicted me this week about somebody. Somebody was always messing up. And the Lord said to me, well, it's time you started thinking about them like I do. I mean, this person's total failure. And call those things that are not as though they were. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I need to trust in your presence and your word to work such a change, to reset that person to live the Christ life. But isn't it easy? If you're married, you've got friends you've been with for years, you look at them and you think, well, they've never done that before. And you can unconsciously say, limits. And you can put limits on the whole church. Well, we've never seen that before. But God has said, I'm going to raise up an exceedingly great army. Right from the start, God said it. And God is in the process of doing this. We are watching God doing this work, trusting him to do it. But we're only part way. But he needs each and every one of us to step up into our high calling in Christ Jesus and not have these limitations that cripple our lives and our faith and the expression of Jesus to the world. How are we doing? Reset the limits. Love Gideon. He's so weak in faith, but he says, I'll give God an offering. I think this is really generous of him because it was a bit of hardship in the country. You know, the enemy would come and steal all their stuff. Didn't have very much, but he went off and got a goat. And he honored God by giving to him. And I just think, do you know what? Giving your offering is an acknowledgement of your faith. Even though he's weak in faith, he's giving. He's giving it in worship. It's part of worship is to give. And that's what Gideon is doing. He's saying, I'm going to give. And God does a miracle through that offering. And he always will. God, I love Jesus in the temple. He's watching what everybody's putting in. He sees all of us. Will we hold back or will we honor and give? And I'm not just saying this for offering time. I'm saying it for the blessing that God wants to show a sign that he is your provider and he will open the windows of heaven and pour out more blessing than we can contain. That's what he promises. He promises to prosper us so that we'll have more than enough for every good work. That's his will. So Gideon, little weak in faith, he begins to give, and then God gives him a very challenging word. His father has set up idol worship in his home. And Gideon was to go and tear that down and build an altar for the Lord. Summary, that is. And Gideon is highly challenged that in his home, he's got to do something that could offend a lot of people. But basically, he was called by God to root out compromise at home. Let me tell you, if God's going to use us from the nation, things have to be real at home. Hello. Guys, we've got to watch what our kids are watching. What's coming in on their phones. Please, can I say it? Police the environment for Jesus. In other words, adults take responsibility for what comes into that home because it's holy. Watch what they're watching. Watch what you're watching. Tear down what an abomination to the Lord. No compromise. Because this is what God's saying to Gideon. Gideon, if you will honor me in this and get your home right, get things right in the home, I will honor you. And what happened is Gideon got so much favor. I love the praise report this morning. Somebody here, and I know exactly who they are, honored God and said, I won't go on a Sunday rota. I'm called to worship. I'm called to join the people of God and worship God and honor him on a Sunday. I will not work on a Sunday. They set out their boundary. And do you know what? God honored that so much, they never even asked that person to do that. Favor. But until you act, you don't see the favor. You've got to stand. And I believe that part of our faith is standing for what is right in God's eyes. To make a stand for Christ personally. Because God uses people who will do that. I'm going to live holy, not just be holy because he says I am. I'm going to live holy and see his righteousness work through my life. Obviously with grace. You know, Gideon did it afraid. He did it at night. I can imagine him sneaking around. We're going to tear this down, guys. I love what a preacher, youth minister, did at Faith Camp this year. Took an iPad, I think it was, or a laptop, and said, if this is unholy, unholy things are coming through, she took a hammer to it, smashed it in front of all the young people. And I was like, and that should be our attitude. I'd rather live without than to live unholy. Literally smashed this laptop up in front of everybody. And I thought, well, there we go. That's radical. But this is Gideon. He's radical. He's gone home. He's doing it afraid at night. But he tears down the compromise and he builds an altar for God at home. He has a reset. And God has said things about him he's beginning to see about himself. And you'll only begin to see things about yourself change when you start to believe and act on what God says. Step by step. And Gideon is taking his steps of faith towards being used for the nation. You look at back at your history with the Lord. You've taken steps, haven't you? Step. I took that step. I honored God on a Sunday. I said I wouldn't work. I took that step. Sundays for worship. I took that step. Arrow time. I'm going to devote myself to the word and prayer. I took that step. I'm going to stand for Christ with my money. I took that step. I gave when I couldn't afford it because God's promised to bless me. It's a step of faith. And you can see all the way through your history these steps of faith. And God said, and then you did. And God said, and then you did. And as you do this, you see your weak faith is growing stronger and stronger until you're ready to do something that is going to make people stand out and say, God is truly awesome in that person. A reset had produced a transformed person. Gideon's no longer weak, no longer the least. He's no longer a quivering wreck, hiding away. He's now a bold leader of God's army. How did that happen? And God said, words, the word of God encourages, builds, strengthens, enables, and empowers us to be something that we are not without him. Reset and take the next step. Reset and take the next step. That's what we all need constantly, isn't it, from the Lord? The end of the story is fascinating. I'm going to finish with this. Gideon, after standing out for righteousness in his family, the Spirit of the Lord came on him like a glove, it said. I love that. On Tuesday night, I brought a marigold glove here. And I just said, it's like, without him, we can do nothing. But with him, we can do all things. So when the Spirit fills us, hand in glove, empowered by the Lord, we can do the same works as Jesus and greater still. And he blew the trumpet and there was this rallying of people. And 32,000 guys come together to join the army, Gideon's army. Now, it sounded good, but there were 300,000 enemy army. So actually, you know, you'd still need a miracle with 32,000, with 300,000 in opposition. And what I love about Gideon, he doesn't just have a beginning and an end. It's every step of the way he's listening to what God is saying. And God actually speaks to him when these 32,000 people come together and he says, it's too many. I love that. I find it amazing that faith in God can do what hundreds of thousands of people can't.
Right. Yes.
That's it, simply. So 32,000, he says, I want you to sift them out. Tell them, whoever's scared, love that, an army comes together, scaredy cats, go home. I mean, can you imagine? I could imagine the boldest, fearful man would have gone, that's me. And then there would have been, there were loads of, there was only 10,000 army left. So loads of them went. 22,000 went off scared. And I think, okay, the Lord knows that fear, as he had to deal with it in Gideon, can't win victories in faith. And so he kind of separates out the crowd to 10,000. And then he says, still too many. Imagine being Gideon. We're going to have to go out and face 300,000. We've only got 10,000 left. The numbers aren't adding up here, Lord. This isn't looking great. And he says, basically, you're going to trust the flesh. You're not going to trust me. Have you ever thought, I've been reduced to this? Have you? Yeah. I've been reduced to this. I thought it. Is this it? And then he goes and reduces it more. And he takes out those of the guys who would lap like a dog. They said, take them down for a drink to the water. Those who lap like a dog, or those who cupped the water and watched. He said, I want you to keep the ones who are like this, watching. Oh, that's an interesting one. So let's sift them out. To be watchful means to be praying, alert, spiritually. Separate them out. Get the alert ones and the courageous ones. And Gideon now is left with 300. This is really what happened. Over 300,000. But Gideon has started to shake in his boots again. As we often do as we step into our call. Every step you'll take, you'll have to fight the fear. You'll have to overcome that fear. And God does it again by speaking to him, saying, why don't you just pop down to the enemy's camp at night and listen. Have a listen to what they're saying. And so Gideon takes a guy with him and he goes and listens at the edge of the camp. And these people it's at night, they're sleeping. And one of them wakes up and he speaks to his friend. And Gideon hears them say, oh, I had a dream. The dream was this barley loaf came in and fell into the camp and knocked us all down. And this is none other than Gideon, because the Lord is with him. So the enemy was believing what Gideon was finding difficult.
Yeah, right.
To believe. Have you ever thought the enemy believes sometimes what we find difficult? And so he'll do everything he can to discourage us. But God uses all kinds of confirmation to encourage Gideon. And he hears it again. We've got the victory. God's given us the victory. So this time it's like, I am confident. With 300, it doesn't matter how many people are with us. God is going to give us the victory. It doesn't matter what your resources are. What your experience is, what's happened to you, how weak, feeble, unable you feel, God Himself is going to do amazing things through your life. And I've just got this word in my heart for you today. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You are mighty, powerful in Christ. God is able to do more with your faith than he could with all the armies of Donald Trump or whatever world power there is. Because God is God. And he has a plan for your life. And all you need to do is reset continually your belief system and your thinking to conquer both those things that are in you that oppose that revelation and those things around you that defy the living God through your life. God says things about you you haven't yet seen. How many today could say, I've not seen everything Jesus said I could do? If that's you, let's stand.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.